everyone. Thanks for downloading the Garden Fork Radio podcast. This is the eclectic DIY podcast that I do with my friends. It's the companion to the Garden Fork YouTube channel. And today I have my good friend Rick. Hey, man.
Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you, my friend?
You're going to all have to listen to this, is that my neighbor is renovating their kitchen and their bathroom, and they're jackhammering the common brick wall. So if you hear a hammer in the background, a jackhammer, it's just part of the ambiance of the DIY ethic of Garden Fork.
That's right. Your neighbors are doing a good job. I can't imagine jackhammering a wall.
Actually, jackhammers are, they're like these mid-size electric ones that plug into the wall. And I've used one twice, actually. There's a sump pump video we used one in, and we put a backyard drain in. And they work really well at breaking up cement when you got to go through like a basement floor or a sidewalk or something. They're great.
You know, a neighbor of mine was breaking a piece of cement with a sledgehammer, and he couldn't make any headway. Well, do you hear Button back there whining?
Yeah, that's part of the ambiance. Jackhammers, dogs.
Yeah. And I went and got him one of those electric plug-in ones, rented it for him. And we finished that project in no time at all.
Yeah, I mean, it'll take you longer to rent the jackhammer than it will to use it.
That's probably true.
And a couple of the Orange Store has rentals, I know. But I'm all about, you know, renting from your local store. But make sure it works before you take it out. I went to one rental place and I rented a cast iron pipe cutter a couple of years ago. And it was broke. I got it to the job and it was broke. And so I lost basically a whole day dealing with a broken tool. And I brought it back and they could kind of, oh yeah, that one's broken. I'm like, oh,
well,
you know.
Why did you loan it to me?
So I don't go to that rental place anymore.
Well, you know, I posted on Facebook on the Garden Fork question and answer period or site there that, you know, we were having trouble because of a jackhammer. And I said, you know, if anything's going on, you know, that you'd like for us to talk about, be sure and post. Maybe we can get some up there. And of course, Garden Fork scientist Tony says he's heard there's an election going on soon, and we're not going to talk about that.
No.
But then Will Wallace pointed out that, one, the Cubs won the World Series, which is a really big deal.
Yeah. Monica's very happy, I know.
I know she is. But also that his wife showed up at the hospital for the birth of our second child about 2 hours ago, and they're probably about 2 to 3 hours away from go time.
Wow, so, good for them.
Yeah, good for you, Will.
Yay.
And good luck with that that birthing for your wife.
Yeah, that's one thing you can't use your backhoe for, Will. So,
so what else is new?
I've been doing a lot of plumbing.
I saw that. You sent me some pictures of a commode project that looked harrowing.
Yeah, actually, that's a video I'm going to edit later today. I noticed that the toilet on the first floor was leaking, a very tiny, slow leak, because I already had the wall open because I just replaced all this cast iron PVC, which we posted a video about. I'll link in the notes here to that. And I thought, oh, I'll just replace the wax ring. And I made a video about that. And it's called a flange. It's the adapter that takes a sewer pipe, a drain pipe, usually a 4-inch, and has a set of bolt holes on it that will bolt into the floor of your bathroom. And there are bolts from there that will bolt into the bowl of the toilet to hold it all together. And the wax ring goes between the flange, which rests on the floor of your bathroom, and the toilet. And it's like a mushy wax. And it's great because it makes a very nice vapor seal and water seal. And it's like clayey wax, you can smush it around. So if your flange isn't very level or if the toilet's a bit wonky, I usually put two wax rings in because they just smush out. And I put that all in and we finished the video. And then I'm like, you know, that just doesn't feel right. It was just something. Mm-hmm. I knew the flange would have to be replaced at some point, but we're going to redo that bathroom in the future. And I thought, well, I'll just do it then. So I took the bolts off the toilet and I pulled the toilet off And by screwing the bolts onto the toilet tank, I had pulled the flange out of the floor.
Oh, no.
And I realized that the wood floor was rotted from the water dripping out of this leak, and that it had been repaired numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to replace the toilet and the flange and the pipe attached to the flange.
And the floor too, right? Or did you just reinforce it?
I had to reinforce it. Well, it has tile on top of backer board, which is on top of kind of plywood that might be rotting. So I just, thankfully I could access it from the basement, and I slid up pieces to reinforce that, but it took 9 hours to do it.
Oh my. You know, my worst toilet experience is when we redid our spare bathroom. And I put in nice, it was wonderful tile, that kind of natural rock tile. And it was really thick behind the toilet and didn't think about it. And then when it came time to drop the toilet on there, I was about an inch and a half short of the sewer hole,
yep,
the drain going out. Fortunately, a friend told me about, there's a, I forget what they call it, but there's a shorter version of that that's made specifically for this instance.
Right, there's a flange adapter, an flange extension.
Yeah, and so I got that fixed, but I was really worried I was going to have to chip up concrete to reposition that sewer pipe going out.
Basically, it's an adapter that will slide in the interior diameter of a 4-inch pipe. Is still actually large enough for a toilet to function properly. So it can become a 3-inch one. So what you do is you have a pipe that's designed to slide in there, and it has a rubber gasket usually. And that slides in, and you can screw it in, and that raises up the flange back up to height. A lot of people don't plan for that when they put tile in.
Yeah. So it was a mess, but I worked my way out of it.
Or you could take 3 wax rings and load it in. But it was one of those things where it's done now, and I'm going to go reshoot the end of the video and tell everyone how it happened, because I'm kind of all about being honest in the videos. But wax rings are actually really easy to replace, and they solve a lot of problems. And what I found with this one is the previous people who did any of the work just put in the wax ring in a wrong way, and so it had a slow leak in it. So there you go.
Well, you know, done is better than perfect.
Yeah, well, with the toilet, you want it to not leak. Because you usually can't see it leaking unless you open a wall up. You know, or
yeah,
the ceiling below starts to have water stains, and then you're like, uh-oh. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that worked out for you. You've had a couple of recent videos, I noticed, bean hole and refrigerator repair.
Isn't that fun to dig a hole in the yard and cook beans?
I've never thought about doing that, so I guess I'll have to experiment with it.
From what I understand from the research that I did, it's most famous for logging camps in New England, where the cook would paddle downriver ahead of the loggers that were bringing stuff down the river, and he would dig a hole, start a fire, and put a pot of beans in there, and then bury it, and then the loggers would come down and dig out the pot of beans and have beans to eat the next day.
Oh, amazing.
And all you got to do is just, I dug a hole in one of my raised beds.
Yeah, that looked really easy. Yeah.
Yeah, that way you don't have to dig into the hard earth. And I just used clay brick. You don't have to use fire brick.
Right.
Of course, the New York Times had an article, and these chefy chef guys in their weekend homes had built these bean holes that were with fire brick and all, you know, it was all manicured. I'm like, you know, just dig
Didn't
a
have
hole.
To be. Just don't use river rock.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then I got to use my flamethrower.
It will explode. I noticed that. You know, I thought about putting a kind of like adapting for a rocket stove and putting the vent tube in low into the fire pit from the side to get a little more oxygen in there so that it would circulate better.
You could totally do that. I just thought it was something to like go out in the yard and, you know, let your kids dig a hole and play with fire.
Yeah. You've been big on that lately. We're going to talk about your pyromaniac proclivities.
Yeah. And then, my refrigerator has been frosting up the coils that cool, that freeze the freezer and cool the fridge in most refrigerators are in the freezer behind a metal plate or plastic plate that has little slots cut in it and a fan attached to it. And I noticed that there was frost coming out of the little vents in the freezer and that the fridge was getting too warm. And so I popped the back panel off and this thing was frozen solid. So I'd hit it with the blow dryer to melt it all down. And there's a drain bob, by the way, in the back of your freezer. And then there's a tray at the bottom of your fridge, underneath the fridge, where that water will evaporate.
And there's a fan to, usually a fan to blow air over the water to keep it evaporating.
Yeah. And I did some research, and there's this old school heating and cooling guy who has a site that was built with HTML1. You know, it's all text and some JPEGs. Yeah. And he's like, he step-by-step walks you through diagnosing what's wrong with your fridge. And he said, there's this thing called the defrost timer. And I didn't realize this, but your freezer, when it self-defrosts, there's a heating rod under the coil, the freezer coil, and it heats up the whole coil every X number of hours or X number of times the door is opened. It depends on how smart and wired your fridge or freezer is. But this, it functions just like a analog light timer that you plug into the wall and it makes all that clicking noise, you know, click, click,
yeah,
click, click, click.
Yeah, I was surprised, yeah.
It's very, very Luddite. And the part was all of $6. And the secondary problem can be a thermostat, which is attached to the freezer coil. And that was like $4. So I bought both of them, both parts.
Sure. Because
the shipping is more than the parts. And then I replaced the timer. And I had the thermostat just in case it wasn't the timer. But the guy on his website said 98% of the time, it's the timer that causes this problem. And sure enough, I don't have to defrost my freezer by hand anymore.
Wow. You know, I was just kind of blown away. I had no idea. You know, that's like literally a black box to me. You know, as soon as the refrigerator starts acting up, I just have to call the repairman. But I didn't even know there was something that simple that you could repair in a refrigerator.
Yeah, and the thermostat is even easier because the thermostat is just, you just cut the old one out and crimp the new one in and boom, you're done. What the devil about refrigerator freezes if there's an issue with the compressor or the refrigerant, but the compressors are self-contained. And I think once the compressor dies, you might as well just swap out your refrigerator.
Yeah, we did that just recently. And you know, there are some really sexy refrigerators out there. I was tempted by that five-door Samsung two-compressor refrigerator where one of the doors one of the compartments with the door could be converted from refrigeration to freezing and back again. And I really thought about it hard, and I said, you know, no, that's going to be a little too complicated.
It's just more stuff to break.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, you know, all we do is open the door and, you know, get stuff out. As long as it keeps stuff cold and freezes down the bottom, we have a bottom freezer, then that's really all we care about.
I see a lot of ice makers break, and it just seems like water and motors and frozen water don't work too well together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we have an ice maker, but we avoided all the through-the-door stuff, you know, water and ice, and some of them have dispensers for other kind of drinks like orange juice or something. And we said, no, we don't want any of that. Just a good old simple refrigerator. And of course I went to Consumers Report and got the ones they recommended because I don't have time to become a refrigeration expert.
When we bought our little country house, there was a fridge in there and I looked at that and I said, that's going to die in 6 months. And 14 years later, it's still running.
You know, we had an old Frigidaire when I was growing up that lasted, I think, 30 something years.
Yeah. And now, like water heaters, like your basement tank water heater, the warranty is 10 years and they will last 10 years in a day.
Right. One of the things I found out, I bought a high efficiency water heater because I wanted it to you know, it's in the garage, and so it kind of needs to be self-contained, well insulated and everything. And they said, do you want a extra warranty, extend the warranty on that? And I said, well, what would I get different? And they said, well, we just extend the warranty. It's the same machine. It's the same water heater. We just charge you more so we can pay for it if it breaks. And I thought, no, I'll take my chances.
Yeah, I like when people, I look at houses for people before they're going to buy them, and I just, you can, there's a date on the water heater actually, and you can just tell them when it's going to break. So speaking of appliances,
yes,
there was an incident, and then today there's an article in the New York Times related to that, but as we all know, I have an aversion to smart little appliances in the home. We have some viewer mail actually to talk about that. But
really?
part of the internet was shut off by thermostats.
And refrigerators and smart, you know, all these little doodads in your house that are smart and are absolutely unprotected in a security sense from being exploited.
Yeah. So all of your, I've actually, you know, like I would love to have a wireless thermostat, but I won't get one because of this very thing. You, whenever you connect your thermostat or your TV or whatever to your Wi-Fi, it, unless it has really robust protections, and a lot of them don't, it's kind of wide open to the internet. And somebody used all these devices to plant, to create a bot network that overwhelmed what's called the name server, that is controls part of the East Coast, from what I understand. So instead of attacking an individual site, it did a denial of service attack, I think it's called.
Distributed denial of service.
Right. So there's a bunch of devices, a bunch of little mini computers asking for the same information from one place. And they attacked a domain name server this time, which is like a file cabinet that lines up IP numbers with names like Amazon or Etsy or eBay. So like Amazon has an IP address. It's like 199.164.135. And the internet works with numbers, and we work with words. So when we type in Amazon, the name servers convert that to numbers and point your computer at the right place to go to Amazon or Etsy or whatever. And by attacking that server with all these requests, it bogged it down and shut it down.
You know, I know that happened because we were trying to watch a movie on Netflix, and Netflix was hit hard by that same denial of service attack.
Yeah, I thought it was like my cable connection, and I'm complaining about the cable company, you know?
I did, too. I rebooted my wireless network at home and all that stuff, and then I got to reading on the internet, and I said, of course, that's the reason I can't get in.
So the New York Times has an article today about an Israeli security company found a flaw in some smart light bulbs. There are these light bulb systems where you can have a bunch of LED bulbs and they're controlled by a smartphone app. And they were able to be within 230 feet of a building, and they could take control of the light bulbs in the building.
Oh, wow.
And that's like, okay, well, big deal to turn my light off, you know? No, but it could be as a point of harassment, you know, the blinking, flashing bulbs, but it just kind of opens the door to.
It could also be your security TV, your cameras that you've got placed around the house or around the perimeter, and all of a sudden they switch them on and can start recording or watching what you're doing.
Yeah. So I mean, I love technology. I would love to have an Alexa in the house, but there's part of me that's like, well, what if somebody turns that thing on when I don't want it on, you know?
You know, I had for a long time been kind of an advocate of radical openness. I just, you know, I use my name as my email address, you know, rhkennerly@gmail.com. It's on my website. It's, you know, and I just have really worked at being open. And recently I've just decided it's not worth the trouble. And so, you know, I have really contracted back and, you know, put my, Wi-Fi or my network here at the house behind a virtual private network, VPN, which encrypts everything that leaves here. All my devices connect to the Wi-Fi using VPN. I use Ghostery. I use, which is, it's controls. Yeah, it's a plugin for Chrome. I don't know if it's for any other.
It's for Firefox, too.
Is it? And it make sure that no one's recording your cookies and your locations, what you're shopping for, that kind of thing. I use HTTPS Everywhere, I think it's called. It's by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, to make sure I always have an HTTPS S for secure connection, so that it's encrypted that way. And then I also, let me see, what was it I was going to say? I forget now. But anyway, I use DuckDuckGo for my search engine.
Yeah, I use that too.
If you don't know about DuckDuckGo, it's like Bing or it's like Google, but it doesn't record your searches. It relates nothing to you. And that helps in two ways. One, nobody can, check on what you're searching for and begin, but then no one can begin sending you filtered information that relates to previous searches. And so you get in that echo chamber where, you're always seeing the same things and the same kinds of people because you all have things in common and things of common interest. And so they just stop doing that. And all of a sudden, I've stopped seeing all the ads for things that I searched for on Amazon, 3 months ago that are still popping up on the regular Google kind of searches.
I get a lot of spam for tactical flashlights. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, you're just that kind of guy, you know?
I don't know, maybe because I looked up the deer hunting season this year, you know?
It could be. Some of those things that, they have smoke coming out of them and whatnot, and you're going, well, I don't think flashlights are supposed to smoke, you know? But anyway, and then I also use Sophos, Sophos software, which they have free software for individuals and families that really does a great job of protecting the equipment here at the house, and it's for every platform.
What's that called? And
it's Sophos, Sophos.
Sophos.
And they also have a killer podcast about security. And I have learned so much about internet security since I've been listening to their Sophos podcast.
All right. Cool.
So, and then if you have a spare computer, they also have free software for what they call an internet appliance. It will reformat and put their software on your computer. You put your computer between your router and the internet, and it will give you a private VPN that you can use anytime you're on the internet, and also keep all malicious software and even stuff that comes in as attachments that has bugs in it. It will intercept that and clean it out, strip it out before you receive it.
Wow. I do have a spare computer, so I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, look at it. It's you really can't be too careful anymore. Because people get in there and they can brick your computer. The ransomware business is just phenomenally destructive and very profitable, apparently.
Especially if you have an AOL address, they can nail you.
Yeah, but if you don't know about ransomware, it's you open a link, it installs something on your computer. Usually, it's done accidentally or it's something that comes from a friend, and it encrypts your hard drive, and then you have to go buy bitcoins to get the code to decrypt your hard drive. And if you don't do it, your hard drive stays encrypted forever. And once that's happened, you might as well just take it out and hit it with a hammer because you'll never get back in. And so it's a particularly pernicious kind of attack that is very lucrative. I think the average is around $300 or $400 to unlock your hard drive in Bitcoin.
Will it also lock up your backup drive that's attached?
It depends if you've backed up and kept that file. If you back up and you back up the file that just came in that locks your hard drive, then the next time you run your backup and reinstall, it will once again reactivate that that software and re-encrypt your hard drive.
Bummer. Well, let's go on a lighter note now. We have some viewer mail.
Okay. Let's hear it for the viewers.
We heard from Kevin, who we always hear from, which I love. He goes, I was talking about different batteries for flashlights and things.
And, oh, this is a little black dog, Kevin.
And Kevin says, I use specific batteries. I use the EverReady lithiums for stuff that's going to sit around, like flashlights in my car or the emergency flashlight by the fuse box. Lithium AA batteries have a 10-year shelf life and more power than other types. And I can attest to that because in my weather station, which is up on the roof of my garage, I put lithium batteries because you don't want to climb up there and replace them a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I use the Sanyo Eneloop batteries. They might be called Panasonic batteries now for everything else. They're rechargeable batteries that act like an alkaline battery. They hold over 90% of their charge for a year. If you do a show on emergency preparedness, I'd like a comparison of the emergency food packages. Love the show. So yeah, I actually have some of the Eneloop batteries and they're highly rated by a number of sites. So they work really well and you can buy them. Well, you can buy them through the Garden Fork TV Amazon affiliate link, which is gardenfork.tv/Amazon.
Okay.
How's that for a plug?
Very nice plug and very smoothly done. Which weather instrument do you have?
I'm blanking on the name of it. Tyler got it for me a couple of years ago, and okay. I love it. So right now it's down for maintenance. I have to replace the little rechargeable batteries in there. But he has a weather data, severe weather data company called Allison House.
That's right. Haven't heard from him in a while.
He's
are
out
you still
there.
Out there? Yeah, he's
out
there. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the reason I asked, my Davis outdoor piece, that has the temperature and humidity and the rainfall and all that, has just about died. And I was getting ready to replace it. And I came across a Kickstarter for an outfit called Bloom Sky. And I've gotten in on the second iteration of this. It's called Sky 2. And it does everything that the Davis unit does for less than what I can replace the outside piece for. So I'm going to, I've ordered one. It'll come for Christmas. And one of the nice things about it is, one, it hooks into the weather. Who are those people?
Weather Underground.
Weather Underground. And so you can get placed on the map and people can log in and see it on the internet. But it also has a camera that looks up and it takes a picture every now and then of the sky, which is kind of neat. You know, it's a simple little thing, but it's all solar powered, no other connections. And I'm going to be real happy with it. So I'm excited for it to get here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Our next viewer mail is from Steve. Hey, Eric, just watched your video of making zucchini sweet potato fritters, which was kind of a fail, but it was a fun one, and wanted to make a quick comment observation. A few of your videos, you cut in a few shots of street scenes of Brooklyn, like when you're just walking down the street. These are so great. So neat to see street life in New York. Could you add a bit more of that content from time to time? Yes. Not living in a big city before, it's always cool to see life in a big city, and especially world-famous Brooklyn. Anyhow, just a suggestion. Love your vids and really enjoy your podcast. We look forward to each and every one. All the best, Steve. So, yeah, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I've noticed that you've been doing more and more little side videos to include in your videos, and I've been enjoying those as well.
I just, there's a part of me that would love to do a daily vlog, kind of like Casey Neistat, and I just can't handle that workload. I know I would not be able to pull it off like he does. I think he drinks a lot of coffee, but I do like this, just kind of like, okay, we're going to jump out of the kitchen here and go to the store. And I just bring the camera along and, there's some people that don't like it, but I'm like, you know, I try and make it more than just a how to. I'd like to make it a little bit of a story maybe, or a little visually interesting. It's not just okay, here's how you take the toilet off, you know? So,
Well, yeah. It also has to be creative and fun for you to do, not just, it's for the viewers and whatnot, but you've been doing this for how long now? Eight years. If you don't change it up a little bit, the format, and add some things and try some new things, it gets very boring very fast because it's difficult to edit video well, and you spend a lot of time with your butt in the chair.
Yeah, I'm going to edit this afternoon after I go get my deer hunting permit, which you can buy in Brooklyn, which I find really amazing.
How many deer are there?
In Brooklyn, there aren't any, thankfully.
I hear you have a lot of coyotes.
There are coyotes coming into the city. Yeah, they. Mm-hmm. Well, they're like scrawny dogs, so people actually don't know what they are. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they come over on bridges, basically. There's some rail bridges that connect Brooklyn and Manhattan to the mainland. So we have another one from Rick in Oregon. I was talking about trying to hook up my very analog stereo to my iPhone or my iPad or something. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Hey, Eric, regarding your stereo connection issue, I've had good luck with the Blue Ant line of products. And I have this one," and he links to a Blue Ant headset streamer, and I'll link to that in the show notes here. "This would allow you to stream your phone to your stereo system. It connects with a mini plug, but you could use an RCA adapter if you needed to." And I have the RCA adapter. And then he brings up the Echo. "Something else you might want to consider is an Amazon Echo Dot. I have several. They are great, especially when connected to a stereo system. They're like a small version of the Alexa. The right. bonus is that they connect to the internet and your phone, so you can play music from any source. I listen to podcasts, NPR, BBC, etc. through the device, and it's all voice controlled. A lot more capabilities than just a Bluetooth streamer." Pretty cool, from Rick in Oregon. And well, Rick and I actually went on to have an email conversation about my concerns about the internet, and he said, you know, he basically said, yeah, they probably can do that. But he says, my life is pretty boring, so why would anyone want to? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a good point, you know. So that was really cool. Radio@gardenfork.tv is the email address, so that's always cool. So thanks.
Okay. Anything else on the reader mail?
Not that I have. I'm in the middle of moving my email to my newer computer, so I lost a couple of things. So if I didn't
read
your email,
you're also in the basement right now, trying to get away from the hammering of the jackhammer upstairs. Yeah, stuff is kind of miscombobulated right now. Discombobulated. That's it. That's
the
it.
Other day I had both neighbors hammering away, so it was just.
Oh, that's the time when you go for a walk. Take the dogs and go downtown, do some filming in a park.
Yeah, the pups are great. They're actually asleep right now, so that's the best kind, I think.
Well, whenever I see them, they're always bothering you for tennis balls, so it's good to know they have some downtime too.
Yeah, they're very proactive. I actually was mulching the leaves with the big Troy-Bilt mower, mm-hmm. and whenever you bring out the lawnmower, they think it's time to throw the ball. So it's kind of funny that they're scared of the mower, but they want you to throw the ball. So they get kind of close and they kind of throw the ball at you while you're mowing.
You know, I'm in the process. We have two new rescues, Darcy and Button. And Darcy is very skittish and Button is extremely loving, but very headstrong. And so we've been doing basic obedience training with them the last couple of weeks. Since it's gotten a little bit cooler and we can spend more time outside and working them. And it's really amazing what a little bit of hot dog will do for a terrier.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they become very compliant.
Hot dog works.
Yeah. Hot dog works.
All right, cool. Well, that probably wraps up the show. We got, the Cubs won the series. So,
huzzah.
Our Chicago fans are quite happy, I bet.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cleveland. I know there's a lot of people in Ohio that listen to the show too, so sorry about that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, when neither team had won in a very long time, it's, you know, no one could lose as far as I'm concerned. You know, they both made it into the playoffs and that's great.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want to support Garden Fork while you're shopping on Amazon, there are links on every Garden Fork page. There's usually an Amazon ad. If you click on the ad, that takes you to Amazon and tells them that you came from us. Or you can use our affiliate link. It's gardenfork.tv/Amazon. You type that in, and you'll be taken to Amazon and told that we sent you. And that's always appreciated. Mm-hmm. And then email us, radio@gardenfork.tv. Anything else, Rick?
Well, yeah, don't forget to mention the Patreon link. I have come to really love Patreon. You subscribe or you donate on a monthly basis.
A monthly supporter, yeah.
Right. Become a monthly supporter, just a couple of bucks. But what I've done, it allows you to consolidate all your giving in that way, your support, your patronage.
Different content creators.
Yeah, for different content creators. And you can kind of see how much is going out every month. And, you know, at the end of every podcast, people are begging for money and whatnot. And, you know, send us a buck. And it's just so much easier to go to Patreon if they've signed up for it. You know, go for a couple of bucks a month. We have a limit here in our budget because we're both retired. And we decide who's going to get what. So far, you've made the cut, my friend.
Yeah. So I'll have you on the show again, Rick.
Yeah, but it really helps on the giving side. And it you get to see a lot of wonderful creative material that you would probably never see otherwise.
I actually post a Patreon-only video that gets emailed to all my patrons.
Right.
Once or twice a month. So I don't know if Rick watches those or not. But
I do. I occasionally, I guess. But
you got enough of Eric already.
Well, I just have a lot to do right now. I'm still working on those weddings from 2 weeks ago.
Our next show, we'll talk about amateur wedding photography and why you should avoid it.
Yes. This was a labor of love for a friend. I would never do it for anyone else.
All right,
okay,
cool.
Well, I need to get back to moving the mouse on those pictures. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right, make it a great day, everyone. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.